Welcome to the latest episode of The Grower and The Economist. I'm Michelle Klieger, The Economist.
And I'm Peter Kanjoyan, The Grower.
Each week, we team up to tackle the biggest challenges facing small and medium-sized growers. We're one part grower and one part economist, just like your business.
Welcome to today's episode of The Grower and The Economist. In today's episode, we have a conversation with two representatives of Meister Media, publishers of Greenhouse Grower magazine that Michelle and I enjoy writing for. The two representatives are Janine Wright and Brian Sparks. Welcome, guys. Why don't each of you take a few minutes? We enjoy presenting backgrounds and career paths of our guests. So Janine, get us started. How did you arrive at where you are today, what your responsibilities are? And after Brian does the same, then we'll jump into the recent conference that brought us all together as a group of four today.
Sure. Thanks for having us on. Well, my background is in horticulture. Out of college, I planned to get a horticulture degree and ended up moving with my family to Ohio. And so I'd done various things that, for the Park Service and ran my own floral business, things like that. And then when I came to Ohio, I started working as a educator and horticulturist for the Herb Society of America. And in that role, the magazine editor left. So I took over her job as well as my other responsibilities. And that's kind of what led me to Meister. So I've been at Meister now a little over 10 years now, and I'm the head editor on Greenhouse Grower magazine. And so I've been doing Greenhouse Grower nine of those 10 years. So it's been a good run. It's a lot of fun.
Thanks, Janine. Brian, how'd you get here?
Well, unlike Janine, I do not have a horticulture background. My background is strictly in journalism and communications, which is, it's nice because, Meister doesn't necessarily require both a horticulture and a journalism background, which is honestly hard to find these days. So I started at Meister about 22 years ago. And for the first 14 years of my career at Meister, I worked on our American Fruit Grower magazine, which covers the outdoor, apples, peaches, cherries, stone fruit, grapes, tree nuts market. Kind of worked my way through that market. And then in 2014, I transitioned over to, at the time we had a magazine for garden retail, today's Garden Center, and spent a couple of years getting to know that market, working at, with those companies. And then a couple of years after that, transitioned over to Greenhouse Grower. And so really since then, for the past 6 or 7 years, I've kind of really had multiple roles within Greenhouse Grower. Big focuses have been technology and then our digital activity. A Greenhouse Grower has a vast online audience. So I really focus on, web metrics and putting together our e-newsletters and just overall digital content, which is nice because, the possibilities are endless. You have, an infinite amount of ideas and resources, et cetera. So it's really been fun to really dig into that side of the industry. So as a whole, been with Meister for about 22 years now.
Well, thank you. And Michelle, the two of both of our guests and I go back a ways. Both Janine and Brian are wonderful to work with in terms of serving as editors. So it's a pleasure writing for Greenhouse Grower. And guys, a vegetable grower is also in the stable, correct?
Yes.
So for the benefit of our podcast guests, we aim toward small, medium-sized greenhouse operators and farms. So there's something for everyone as a grower in this stable of the Meister publications. So let's shift gears now. And what brought us together, Janine and Brian, you folks extended a generous invitation. Michelle and I spoke in Phoenix, Arizona at Meister's Grow Executive Summit for 2022. Give us a little background on the conference, topics, how long it's been underway, et cetera. And then we'll dig into some of the content there.
Yeah, sure. Well, the Grow Executive Summit kind of got its roots you know, starting way back in like 2008, I think, out of Meister Media and Greenhouse Grow, they had kind of an initiative called Grow. At the time, there was like a housing crisis, you know, a lot going on in the industry and things weren't going well. And so Grow kind of was like, let's get all these people together. Let's talk about how we can grow the industry and what we can do. So that's kind of the, you know, the roots of Grow Executive Summit. And then over the years, we saw that kind of shift and more of a need for like senior management kind of training and topics and discussion and stuff. So that's where the idea for Grow Executive Summit came out of. We're in the second year. We wanted to launch it, but it was earlier, but it was right during COVID. That wasn't a great time. So we did that last year and then and this year. So it's our second year for it. So we're excited about the event.
And just to emphasize a little bit, Janine, many of our listeners are aware of American Hort Cultivate, previously known as OFA in the short course. And we often have guests who are speakers on that program, and that one's geared toward everybody and everything. And just to emphasize, as a representative of the small grower category in our industry, my attendance at the conference, I think during our presentation, me and Michelle, I asked in the audience, show of hands, how many were small growers versus large growers. And it is geared, as you said, a little more toward the higher end and the larger growers. I learned a lot listening to some of our largest growers in the country describe what they're going through as a result of supply chain disruption. But there were a handful of small growers there, and spending time over the two and a half days with both groups of growers, it's always a case of you can learn as much in the hallway as you do in the formal session, right?
For sure.
And that's the sign of a good conference, right? It's one thing to have your agenda and your speakers, but you really get that flow of ideas, that sharing of experience and knowledge outside of the sessions, in the hallway, at the coffee break. So I also found that those were great conversations and really shows the quality of people and how much they showed up to be engaged, not just to be spoken to.
You know, and Peter, you talk about, you know, the needs of small growers versus large growers. And I think what's interesting, too, is, you know, while the way that some of these growers may approach challenges, which I'm sure we'll talk more about here, the challenges are all the same for every grower, and everybody has to deal with them. And, you know, to what both of you were saying, if there's something that, you know, a smaller grower can learn from what a larger operation is doing and vice versa, I think that kind of benefits the entire industry when these, you know, challenges that seem to be more prevalent than ever right now tend to come up. You know, there's different ways of looking at and dealing with things too.
That's a great point. And Brian, I think in the conversation in Phoenix, and Michelle, you've heard me say this repeatedly, that as a small grower, I've learned or gained confidence over my career, being able to sit at tables with large growers or communicate with them at conferences, as I came to the understanding that small growers, large growers, regardless of size, we all have the same line items on our budgets. And what I've come to describe as the difference is, the only difference I see between me and a big operation is the number of zeros that follow the actual numbers in all of the economics. And coming to that realization, as I said, help give me confidence. I try to share that and rub elbows with fellow small growers so that, Janine, in the future, we can get more small growers that are interested in a conference like Grow Executive and don't just discount it and say, oh, that's just for the big guys. You know, and Brian, you made that excellent point that we're all in it together. And oftentimes having small and large growers in the conversation at the same time, we all learn from one another, right?
Yeah, for sure. And we definitely want the conference to be for both. A majority of larger growers there this time and a handful of small, but we'd love to see that balance, you know, get a little better just because they can learn from each other. And part of this conference is, you know, we want to start those discussions and start them around more business management type of things that all growers deal with in one way or the other.
There's also opportunities for them to work together. It came up a couple times that, and it comes up across industries, but it came up that the largest growers have contract production, or smaller growers rent out their greenhouses for off times of the year. And so those niche markets are really where a lot of margin can be made. And so being able to say, hey, look, a big grower was contracted to do something, it's too small of a product, who can we pass that off to, is a great way for both businesses to grow. And so I do think that having those senior management from both sides could be mutual beneficial to the bottom line, not just to business operations.
Right. Yeah. I think one of the growers, the speaker growers, you know, mentioned that, like, he's like, there's some things we do well and other things we don't do as well, or it might not be the right area of the country. So we work with a contract grower or something. So yes, you know, it's a good place to make connections and just talk about some of those things.
And I think too small does not necessarily mean less innovative or less progressive. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of smaller to mid-sized operations that, you know, are really innovating their facilities, and they're following trends and seeing what's happening in the market and how they can respond as a company. You know, those are some fascinating conversations that we have, you know, with a grower who's not, you know, among, you know, our top 100 list, for example.
That's a great point, Brian. Thanks for bringing that up. You know, we try, and as I said earlier, we gear this podcast toward the smaller end of the spectrum, but it's always important to explain how it all fits together as a big puzzle.
We might have gained a few larger grower listeners after that presentation. So as much as you know, really focus on your target market, it doesn't mean the information doesn't flow both ways. Small growers can learn from big growers and materials aim for them. But I also think that hopefully a lot of people found value in our conversation, and we have picked up a few listeners, and regardless of their size, we hope that they continue to learn and enjoy the podcast.
For sure. Yeah.
Good point, Michelle. Let's dig right into the topic of this year's conference. Explain how you guys came about it and sessions that you included on the program. Let's get into the content and share a few of our experiences and perspectives.
Yeah. So mainly the topics came from working with our advisory board and you know, calls with growers and stuff to say, what are some of your biggest pain points? What are some of the areas that are most important for us to talk about right now? And again, like I said, this conference is not geared to be a conference that gives crop production information. It is more geared for, you know, business management, higher level topics there. Obviously, labor was an easy choice since it's on everybody's mind. And then we did profitability as far as looking at how can they sustain their businesses over the long term? So not just even now, just trying to make money during an inflation and with input costs or something. But, you know, what do you need to be doing, thinking about to keep your business healthy for the future? The third, supply chain. You know, that was a kind of obvious topic. We kind of worried about that one because we didn't know how this, when we chose it, it was a year ago. We didn't know how the supply chain was going to, you know, be, but that was another one where a lot of the growers wanted to learn more about, especially, you know, how do you make that supply chain more efficient? How do you make it more resilient to black swan events and things like that?
And Brian, over the course of the 2 days, jump in with some of your observations, you know, your perspective, your view of what we were discussing.
Yeah, well, I mean, as Janine said, you know, so we identified those three topics. There were a couple of goals I think we had coming into this. Number one was to, you know, have perspectives both from within and then from outside the industry. As we talked a lot during the event, there are things that, you know, a grower, it's very easy to stay in your own bubble sometimes and not kind of see what's happening in other markets. So we tried to bring in, you know, folks who are experts from industries outside of horticulture or even agriculture. We also tried to make sure that there was, you know, really, it wasn't designed to be a conference where you sit and listen to somebody talk for 45 minutes and then another person talks for 45 minutes. We tried to make it as interactive as possible, whether it's building time in for Q&A or having, you know, roundtable discussions where your folks can have a conversation like the two of you had, as opposed to just making a presentation. What was really interesting to me was because we didn't have breakout sessions to the conference. It was all, you know, it was one agenda for everybody. There was a lot of callbacks to previous points of discussion made, which I thought was interesting. We focused a lot of the first day, or at least the first half of the first day, on labor issues. That extends to how you make your business profitable in the long term. Your profitability then extends to how you manage supply chain issues. So there was a lot of callbacks to, I heard this during one of the labor talks, let's see how it applies to this part of the discussion. So I thought that was really interesting.
And that's a credit to you guys putting the program together, that it's built in a way that allows that two-way communication. One of the rules I was taught when I first started speaking many, many years ago was whenever you can tie yourself into a previous speaker or topic on the program, that's a good thing because it helps, you know, connect dots for your audience. So you guys set us up nicely. We had Michelle and I had plenty of opportunity to refer back to those. And I passed a note to Michelle on, and this speaks to the big grower, small grower guys point a little bit. As small growers, we are naturally the jack of all trades, right? So while our largest greenhouse operation in the country, Metrolina Greenhouses in the Carolinas, while the CEO was a speaker, we also heard from Metrolina's human resources lead. And I had a chance to talk to her during the cocktail reception, and she was wonderful. I asked her to finally teach me what the difference is between all of our generations, the X, the Y, the Z, and I still can't define them. And she did a really nice job explaining that part of life to me. But so the note I passed to Michelle was in the second morning, we were hearing from an expert, an academic about supply chain and disruptions and future projections. And Michelle, do you remember the note I passed you? I said, my brain is hurting as a non-economist, but I knew it was important information that, and I was sitting next to, you know, Michelle as an ag economist. So I knew I was okay. She'd interpret whatever I needed to be interpreted between sessions. But for the small grower that has to know a little bit of everything and do a little bit of everything, yeah, literally, it made my brain ache a little bit. But it was all really good stuff. I mean, to hear someone talking about how truckers and railways and things we hear in the everyday news trickles down to how we run our businesses. That was fascinating to me.
I teach at some point, and we've done an episode on price as a signal and incentive and a price aggregator. And on that signal part, it's that there's this line of communication, and the buyer and the seller might never know each other and they don't know what the other person's experiencing. But when the price changes, everybody knows there's something going on in the market. And that's sort of what I took Peter's comments. Like, look, I am now cued in that these are some important topics. I don't need to be an expert in them, but like, I now know a little bit and I know what people are following. And that is just helpful context for the upcoming year.
Yeah. One of the speakers, Charlie Hall there, I was talking with him a little bit on, and granted, I think I even said at one point during the conference that I am not good at, you know, economics, but he talked about looking at, you know, the smaller picture of things, of what's going on right now, but then also looking at the macroeconomics. And I think that was one thing, you know, I noticed on the supply chain, definitely is kind of to get that bigger picture look of what's going on and where is it headed, what should people be thinking about, but also looking at, you know, what's going on right now that may affect your business.
The term supply chain and supply chain disruption, do any of you, can you recall, to me, we invented it as COVID set in. I'd never dealt with it or heard about supply chain disruption over my life and career. Have you guys?
You know, it was interesting because, you know, I kind of alluded to this at the very beginning of the second day. So when you talk to growers and others on the trade show floor in the halls, you know, for years, when you ask what their biggest challenge was, you know, labor was always the number one thing, obviously. And you're looking back to, I think it was 2021, so the year that the first year they were back in person after, you know, the height of COVID, you asked those same that same question, and while labor was still something that was mentioned, supply chain became the thing that I was hearing more than anything else. That was really, I think, you know, I mean, you heard references to it, but I think that was really when it really started to hit home for me at the time. And at that time, I think it was more about delays than anything else. You know, I think since then, you know, it's extended to, you know, the cost of goods and then how that affects your bottom line and how it affects your planning for the coming year. You know, we were talking to a lot of growers on the trade show floor at Cultivate 2021. And, you know, they were coming off a year when a lot of them had had, you know, pretty outstanding sales years. But the problem was they were, you know, they had the means to make expansions or make renovations or make improvements, but the supply chain was preventing them from doing a lot of that. And I thought that was really interesting. And then you extend that to, you know, this past year, not as much of a concern, but still definitely top of mind for a lot of growers, and just the way that they look at it has again shifted, I think, from shortages and availability to then the price you're paying and how that all ties together with how you're going to run your business moving forward. It's definitely a buzzword for everybody right now in and outside of horticulture, I think.
I loved that RJ Romano was there and went through and said, look, you might think that supply chain disruptions and supply chain challenges is new, and I've been doing this a while and my family had no idea what I did, and now they do. And he like went through these examples that had happened before COVID that are very similar to what's happened now, but they were just so isolated that it didn't make headline news. It just impacted certain individuals or businesses or industries. And so like, it's this huge domino. That's what's making us see it now. And as somebody that does talk about supply chain disruptions a lot, I really appreciated his talk and really going back and saying, look, it's not the first time the Suez Canal has been blocked. And it's not the first time we've had lockdowns. And all of these things have happened before, but they've never all happened together.
Exactly. Yeah, the issues have always been there. People have dealt with them, but maybe not as long term or as severe, you know, as during COVID and stuff. And I think that's really made people more aware of the vulnerabilities in their supply chains. And, you know, how do they fix that? How do they make it more resilient, which I think is a good thing.
And Janine, earlier you referenced one of the keynote speakers that you had on the program, Dr. Charlie Hall from Texas A&M University. Charlie and I have had opportunities to speak together for many years. And what I enjoyed, one of his messages, the supply chain disruption, the business effects, you know, the climate, we've been through it before. We've had recessions before. We've had fuel shortages before. But through the 70s and 80s, we came to describe the industry, the greenhouse industry, as recession-proof. And Charlie made a point that I locked away and I'm carrying with me now. He used the word recession, or described as being more recession-resistant and not recession-proof. And anyone who pays attention to plant breeding and, you know, whether this cucumber is powdery mildew resistant or, you know, powdery mildew proof, there's a difference there. So I think what we've learned over this past one is let's not just be too comfortable in saying whenever we have recessionary climates, our industry will do well. We should say, let's be careful, we could do well. And one of the other messages I got from Charlie was that we may be falling right into our old habits. And after a year or two of really good growth and sales, I think I heard him say that shrinkage, crop dumping, you know, the waste is on the rise, which, Michelle, we've talked about countless times, you know, supply and demand and being too greedy or, you know, just going a little bit too far. And I sense that growers are growers. We like to grow stuff. I sense that you know, we're listening more to our guts to grow more rather than people like Bridget Behe, who are saying to us, well, this may be the time to raise prices, but don't flood the market. What are your observations on that?
Yeah, I think it's something that the industry has to be careful of, because we all know too many crops on the market, suddenly you've got a commodity crop and it's hard to get the prices that you need. And sometimes I think, you know, if we're not careful with that, this might be controversial, but I think the fact that growers have had to raise prices is a good thing, because they've been reluctant to do so. And I think they've learned that, you know, I'm raising my prices and people are willing to pay it. So I think that's a good thing. But as we know, you get too much crops on the market, too much supply, and suddenly you can't fetch those prices anymore. And we could be going backwards if that happened. So I definitely think, you know, it's something that as an industry, everybody has that responsibility to find that balance and look at the demand in their area and keep it in check as much as possible.
I think, too, you know, what makes it really challenging is, you know, where is this market going to be next year? You know, yes. You know, folks, you know, I mean, you look at how much it expanded over the past couple of years with new consumers coming in. I don't know if anybody still really has a good idea of, you know, how many of those consumers are going to come back. It seems like, you know, we're as an industry retaining more potentially than we have in past years. But, you know, if you're a grower trying to plan for how much of a crop you're going to be producing this year and where it's going to go, that seems to be more of a challenge than ever right now. So whatever, you know, tools you can use to plan for that is going to put you at an advantage, but it's definitely unpredictable right now. That's a word I heard a couple of times as I was talking to growers at the conference, was when you're looking at next year, unpredictability right now.
I think that was, to me, a theme that stood out too, is, you know, I heard uncertainty and unpredictability, but then I know a lot of the talks, I know Michelle talked about this a little bit as you guys were doing your talk about the learning to adapt and learning when to stop doing something versus, you know, picking up something new versus keep doing that thing because it's working or letting it go because it's not. And that just with that theme to me of like, you know, how do you deal with uncertainty and unpredictability? It's, you know, it's adapting, it's flexibility.
That's a great point. And that's one we try to hammer home a lot, Janine, in our conversations in the podcast, is that if small growers are listening and we feel that they have the ability to change gears, to pivot easier or faster than some large growers. In some instances, there are certainly exceptions to rules where a large operation may be poised or at a level of automation where they can turn on a dime. And you made a comment earlier that perhaps raising prices is something controversial. I agree with you, but I don't let that, and I don't think you do either, I don't let that prevent me from saying it's time to raise prices, right?
For sure, yeah.
Because every one of these supply inputs, the supply chain, everything has gone up. I've got three layers on today because I received a home heating oil delivery yesterday and I am ticked off that it's the highest per gallon price I've ever paid in my life at $4.40 a gallon. So I informed my wife that the thermostats are going down a few degrees over the next couple of months and I've got some firewood to split so that we stay warm. But yeah, the supply chain, everything keeps going up. There was one gentleman that made a comment while Michelle and I were on stage doing our presentation. I don't remember what we were talking about, but he raised his hand and said, you know, as I saw shortages in rooted cutting availabilities come up, sometimes the larger grower has the advantage to get to the inventory faster and buy it up, where a small grower might not have that access, you know, to get rooted cuttings if they're short. And I didn't think quickly enough, but I thought on the plate, I should have just snapped back at him and said, oh, so you're the one that bought all the toilet paper. So, okay, as we wind down our conversation, let me open it up to the two of you. any other take-home messages from the conference, what you might be planning for the future, and let's bring the conversation in for a nice soft landing.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, one of the kind of, to me, one of the prevailing themes that ran through the conference was, it, you know, for businesses, it isn't just about reacting to the latest event, you know, reacting to COVID, reacting to problems in the Suez Canal. It's more about, how do you set up your business in such a way that you can weather the storms when you need to, capitalize on opportunities when you can. You know, it's about more of the long-term sustainability and not always having to react to those up and downs. And that takes the flexibility, that takes the adapting and changing and knowing when to put something new in place or let it go. So that was, you know, one of the things. And I'm always too, I think, in awe when I hear growers discussing things or that of our industry, is how much they are willing to share information. So, you know, with talks like this, and that was part of what we wanted to achieve with Grow Executive Summit, is to just get the discussion started, get people talking, get people exchanging information and sharing that. I'm always in awe of our industry, how much they are willing to do that and talk with each other to help solve problems or just say, hey, this worked for me or this didn't. As far as future plans, you know, we hope to keep the event going and keep, you know, in expanding it. As far as, you know, we really like to attract a lot of more vegetable growers and cannabis growers to that, to this event, and grow it that way. And also, you know, grow the discussions and how we get the growers interacting with people. So that's some, you know, a few things we'll be working on this next year.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, as I look, you know, at this year's event, we've talked about a lot of the themes that emerge. One of the things that really jumped out at me was it's all about people. And I know we closed the first day with putting your talent first, and heard a wide range of perspectives on how you do that and why it's important to the identity of your business. And I think, you know, from whether it's, you know, your senior management, their philosophies and how their ideas then trickle down to the rest of the company, I think is really interesting. And then, you know, working with, you know, your production line, your new employees, how to get them invested in the future of the company, so they're not just coming in and it's just considered a job, it's considered a career and, you know, a way to benefit both them and your company. I think those are some of the key things that really stood out for me. You know, as you look ahead, you know, Janine, you mentioned it there, you know, we're not only are we trying to bring perspectives of both small and large operations, I think it's the type of crop you're growing to. Our core, I would say, for greenhouse grower for a long time has been the ornamentals market. I think it still is. But as we continue to, you know, expand to, you know, the greenhouse vegetable market and the cannabis market as well, you know, there's definitely ideas. You know, we talked about, you know, what a small grower can learn from a larger grower and vice versa. I think that there are things an ornamental grower can learn from a cannabis or a greenhouse vegetable operation and vice versa. I think those are the type of perspectives that we want to continue to bring to, you know, this event as we move forward with it. And then the other thing too about, you know, as we look towards the future is, you know, I heard a couple of the growers say, you know, this was exactly the right size of the event. And, you know, those are the kind of conversations that we'll have to have internally, because obviously we want to continue to grow this event, but then how do we do it in a way that you can maintain the intimacy and those one-on-one conversations and connections? I think there's ways to do both where you can grow it by, you know, the number of attendees, et cetera, but maintain that focus. You know, that's something that we'll have to definitely look at internally, but that's our goal for the event, at least, I think.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful point, Brian, to bring up. And it's parallel to a comment that I often make, I think I made when Michelle and I were doing our presentation. That is, when we talk about small and growing and growth, a question that I ask repeatedly is, why can't a grower be small and successful? And Brian, I think you just described your version of that. You know, the conference was intimate. It was big enough and still small enough. And, you know, sometimes if we look at a conference like Cultivate and say, that's our goal, well, you lose something when you graduate and grow from the size you were at. What were we over 100 people or 100 or so at the conference?
Yeah, just over 100.
And that's an intimate group. And as you said earlier, Brian, you didn't have breakout sessions, you didn't have different tracks. And that's refreshing at times because, yeah, you're forced to stay with the same people and you end up getting to know them better and understanding their perspectives. As you were describing, Brian, the focus of Greenhouse Grower Magazine and the branching out, the diversification with edible crops and the cannabis market, it's a living version of what Michelle hears me say almost every episode, a plant's a plant's a plant. And perhaps there's a new magazine to be born where, you know, it's just a plant.
I like it.
Everybody. Okay, Michelle, I'll let you wrap things up with us.
It was my first time at the conference. I thought it was wonderful. It hasn't come up yet, but I want to thank you on the episode for inviting us to do this in person. Even though Peter and I live 40 minutes away, we have actually never recorded an episode together in the same room. So it was kind of fun to do it in person and have that opportunity. The feedback from the room was fascinating. A lot of people said that in the beginning it was a new style. And so it took a little bit of getting used to. But then afterwards, several people came up to me with podcasts that they have or podcasts that they recommend I listen to. So it's really a growing medium for sharing information. And we started with this mindset of small growers, but part of that is because this is an accessible piece of information, right? We can bring them experts. They can listen on their own terms. They can listen with their own technology. It's free. And so it's a way to disseminate information. And I think that your conference also aims to get information out to people. So I just love that we're constantly exploring ways to get all growers that information. And I love that Peter and I get to be part of that solution with you guys. So I personally really want to say thank you. And it was an awesome opportunity for me.
We were definitely happy to have you both there. And, you know, I really appreciate your point at the end there, Michelle, about so many new ways to get information. Now, that's what really excites me about, you know, where this industry is headed. I mean, when I started at Meister, again, over 20 years ago, it was the print magazine and that was it. You wrote articles for 1 month, you put the magazine together, and then you started writing for the next month. And then you had the addition of electronic newsletters and you built websites. And, you know, now, I mean, you look at a topic and one of the first things that we do is we look at, okay, how can we present this in different formats where it's not just the same information repeated across formats? You've got the print magazine, you've got the website, you've got an event like we hosted, you have podcasts, you have videos, webinars, and there's things that we haven't even talked about that 5 years from now, we're going to say, you know, how did we end up doing this? And are we still doing this? You know, so I think that's really interesting to see where this industry is headed, how in how different types of growers get information, you know, who prefers what and how do you deliver that to them? So I really appreciate your point there.
And it gives an opportunity for so many different voices, right? I assume your editing process for the print magazine is very different and requires somebody to have writing skills and so forth. And so by having all these different, you know, ways of connecting with readers or listeners, you get to bring in different voices. And I think that the conference really showed the breadth of the industry and knowledge and people outside of the industry that are needed inside the industry.
Yeah, I definitely echo Brian's sentiments. You know, we were happy to have you participate, and I thought it was a great, you know, part of the presentation. People really enjoyed it. And yeah, that's one of the great things about the conference is just getting those different voices and giving people a chance to hear things that they might not have heard, you know, in some of the regular industry meetings that we have, or just, you know, giving the different perspectives in such a format that they can consume, whether it's digital, whether it's print, whether it's live, you know, in-person events.
All right. I think we've had a nice conversation. Thank you both for taking time to join us in this episode. And perhaps in some way, shape, or form, the four of us will get together in the future again to bring our perspectives, you know, into play. And I think you guys see and understand why Michelle and I are trying to do what we're doing together from these, you know, grower and economist and you guys giving us an opportunity to do that, as she said, live for the first time. That was really cool. I was waiting for her to throw something at me because I at times play the old owl card, and I think she could get me really good anytime, any day, any place, just asking me to define different generations, and I'd be stumped.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Grower and the Economist. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate it wherever you listen to podcasts. It helps us get discovered by new listeners. If you have questions, concerns, or would like to suggest a podcast topic, please email me at michelle@stratagerm.com. I love hearing from you. Until next time.